Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to episode 38 of the Drive Into Deep Left Field podcast. I am here with Ryan. No Jack today, he's a slacker. No Jackson today, he's also a slacker. He's also a crack. And then we'll be talking. We haven't recorded in a while, so a lot of stuff has gone down, especially because we have we've seen a lot of changes in the standings and such in the last couple weeks. So let's just get into this.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
We want to start and talk about who's a fun team to talk about.
You want to start off with the AL West, because the Mariners and I think are beating the A's right now. They're going to pull themselves within like one game of the Athletics.
Yeah, they're one game back if they can close this out right now. So
the Mariners have been kind of ever since.
Frankly, I don't give a shit because neither of these teams are making the playoffs and they're kind of boring.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Like, with how the season's going, would you be shocked if, like, the Yankees had, like, a massive COVID outbreak and just fell apart in late September and the A's or Mariners?
They're not going to need a COVID outbreak to fall apart.
Okay, first off, you're just upset that the Blue Jays are now only seven games over 500.
Four and a half back, though. That's, like, easy.
No, they're four and a half back of Boston. They are six and a half back. They're seven back from the Yankees, I believe.
Yeah, they're seven back from New York. New York should make the playoffs. I was wrong about that. But whatever. Houston's better than them and Tampa's better than them, so.
Yeah, I would say right now on the teams that like are an AL fraud watch, if you want to have like a fraud watch and like a like risers and fallers, I'm gonna say like the Rays and the Astros are probably the ALCS picks right now. And I think that's justifiable. Even though it feels like a cop-out because you're going to say, oh, this is just the two, you know, best division winners. Well, you know, the best for a reason. And I don't think the
White Sox are on fraud watch.
I don't think they're on fraud watch, which I'm not going to put them on like a fraud watch list, because I just think they're just, we kind of knew they're not as good as Houston and they could maybe struggle against Tampa, but they took a series against Tampa early in the season. They split the season series with them. I think it's just the Yankees series that everyone looks at as like, oh, they're frauds. But I think that's just kind of a little unfair to them because it was one opponent who's really been beating the shit out of them. And that's the Yankees.
They've been beating the shit out of everyone, to be fair.
Yeah, but I'm just saying like the Yankees are really the only AL team who owns the White Sox out of all the competitors, because the White Sox have played well against other good AL teams. It's just the fact that they didn't play well against the Yankees.
I mean, have they really, though? Like, I'm pretty sure they haven't. I'm pretty sure they've been complete shit against any good team.
No, they've been, if you take away the Yankee series, they're like a 500 team against above 500 teams. So they're average against above 500 teams, which is fine enough for me, because that's what you expect to do. Like, you expect to split the season series with Tampa, or split the season series.
Interesting about the Astros is that they beat the shit out of good teams, and then get swept by the Royals and Tigers.
The fact that the Yankees have beaten up on the White Sox and the Astros, but have got their shit rocked by Boston for the majority of the season makes no sense to me. Because the Yankees were beating Houston.
It's just because they're not, like, good.
I just don't understand. Like, this year has been the weirdest regular season. Like, the fact that we have, like, the Astros getting swept, like, two separate occasions by a really bad team.
They got swept by the Orioles, Tigers, and Royals, I think.
Well, they didn't get swept by the Royals. They won a game against the Royals. But
They went 1-3.
Yeah, that's, like, it just doesn't make any sense to me, the regular season at all.
And they lost 3-4 to Minnesota.
Yeah, it's not
Astros
even a matter
have really
of,
been slumping lately.
I mean, they always have this like really bad, or maybe just recent memory. But I know in 2017 they didn't have the greatest August. That's when they lost the one seed because the Indians went on a run and the Astros weren't playing great, and they picked it up in September. So I'm not concerned about the Astros.
I'm not either, and they're getting.
I'm getting Bregman back.
I think tomorrow is the idea there.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be yesterday, but. I don't know.
Go ahead.
So if Alex Bregman returns tomorrow, I mean, you're immediately the best offensive baseball again.
I think, aren't they already the best offensive baseball? So, no. They just get better. The rich get richer. And I'm not going to say they're a lock to make the World Series because I don't think...
No one's a lock.
Yeah, and I don't think they're like... I don't think they are that much better than the Rays. But I think they are better than the Rays.
They're the best team in the American League. I think they're probably the third best team in baseball and the best team in the American League.
Yeah, I would go there too.
I might even say they're better than the Dodgers.
Well, I think the Dodgers are the best team in baseball and the Giants are the second best team. But I think that's an interchange. Like, I think the Giants are very good. Like,
I think the Giants are the best team in baseball.
I don't think that, but I think there's an argument for it. Like, I'm not against that argument. You know what I mean? Like, I think Tampa's another tick. I think Tampa's a very good stake for best team in the American League. When you're the top seed by four games, I mean, I think that's a reasonable enough claim, especially since, you know, they're just so much smarter. It just feels like they're just so much smarter than everyone else because they are.
I don't even know if Tampa's better than Milwaukee.
No, I meant like Tampa's the best team in the American League.
Yeah, I know, but like, I'm just...
I think they're better than Milwaukee. You know, they've played better than Milwaukee. Yeah, they have a better record than Milwaukee, and Milwaukee doesn't play in the toughest division in the world.
They don't play. The NL Central is not as bad as people say it is. Like, Cincinnati's a good team, and then St. Louis is St. Louis. But, like,
yeah, they're going to have two. They might have two playoff teams. There's a very good, like, there's a better chance that the Padres don't make the playoffs than there is that they do make the playoffs. That the Padres are not as.
They're not that good.
The Mets. I think we all picked the same five playoff teams. And the Braves have come back to where
we all picked the Braves. Everyone thought they'd be the wild. We thought they'd be the wild card team, and we thought the Mets would win the division, which is still possible. The Mets are 6.5 back.
The Mets really benefit from after this Giants series. They play a bunch of bad teams,
and Lindor is back.
And the Braves are in the middle of a series against the Yankees, and then go off to play the Dodgers and the Giants. So, you know, if you pull yourself within by the end of August, you pull yourself within. Four games of the division, three games, you have a shot to win the division. I just don't know. I think they get Lindor back today, which is huge, but not having DeGrom is going to be awful. Like, they don't have a shot in the playoffs. I don't think they have a shot in the playoffs because Syndergaard's supposed to come back as a reliever. That's another thing. So you're really going to have Stroman, and that's
it. It's Stroman, Carrasco.
McGill, I think.
Walker. Which isn't a bad rotation. It's just... not what they are with DeGrom.
It's just not. I don't think it's just not enough to. You know, maybe they could. They're good enough.
If you can get a 2020 Carrasco rather than whatever the hell he's been this year,
it's great.
And
yeah,
granted, he's only made like four starts or five starts.
Yeah,
he hasn't been good in his starts. He has good peripherals, but his results are terrible.
I think he's giving. Let me just double check, but 25% home runs. It's not even like a high, like his barrel rate is high. It's a 9.3%, but last year was 8.3%, and the ERA was 2.91. Now, obviously, there was a regression that was projected, but I trust that he's going to be better.
He'll be better.
Yeah, no, of course. I think he was going to be like
I feel like this steamer projection here, 3.36, is pretty fair.
I think the one underneath it, the 3.61, is probably a little more fair because we have to adjust for the fact that, you know, we don't know when he's going to turn around.
He plays in Citi Field.
Yeah, and you know, on top of that, the beauty of a one game wild card is that having Marcus Stroman on the mound is that you just need the other pitcher to not do that well, or the other team to have a bad.
Marcus Stroman may not be the best pitcher in the league, but he's definitely one of the most consistent and reliable.
I think I'm getting a Discord call. This is weird. I thought it was a Skype call. I thought like Jackson. Yeah, no. I thought I was getting another one. Like, is Jackson trying to join or something? But that doesn't make any sense.
I didn't give anyone else a link. So it's.
Yeah.
No, but Marcus Stroman, like pretty much every time he goes out, 5, 6, 7 innings, yeah, like well, 2, 3 the runs. Dodgers. What?
He pitched well against the Dodgers.
And he's been striking out more hitters lately.
Yeah, so if you and I know, you know, people had a big problem with the fact he's retweeting his own highlights. So like, oh, he's more concerned about himself than he is about the people team actually, after they lost against the Giants.
People, all players retweet their highlights.
Right, but the fact that he in this 2-game stretch against the Giants and the Dodgers, the fact that he went out and posted a like around a 3.5 ERA with a 3.5 Sierra is pretty impressive because those are two really really good offenses. Playing at home, I do believe Stroman is a pitcher where you put him on the mound for a wild card game. I have no reason to believe he isn't going to give your team, you know, the best chance to win that game.
This is a dirty cheat.
the PED suspension from 2012. But you know, without, you know, and I'm not trying to disparage, or not, excuse me, not disparage, but I'm not trying to take away from the great pitchers in NL West. But I don't think it's fair to say that like Stroman is so like so much worse than Gausman in a 1-game playoff, especially considering
he's a lot worse than Walker Buehler for sure.
No. Than Walker Buehler?
Walker Buehler's
both overachievers.
No, but Walker Buehler's a different type of overachiever because he has like he might not have the Sierra that other guys have, but he definitely has the stuff.
Okay, I'm not saying he doesn't have the stuff. I'm not saying he's, like, bad. I'm just saying I am fully confident that Marcus Stroman could win a game against Walker Buehler.
Yeah, but Walker Buehler is a much better pitcher.
Walker Buehler would be favored. And the Dodgers would be favored. They should be favored. I'm just saying I think, now, outside of the wild card game, I think the Mets would be done because I don't think they have the starting pitching depth without DeGrom and with Syndergaard having all those setbacks. Yeah, like, but in a 1-game wild card, like, they can play spoilers. Like, if they're going to face one of the Giants or Dodgers If they make it,
it's kind of unlikely.
Yeah, they're more likely to win a division probably than they are to make the wild card, if we're being honest.
There's 7 out of the wild card.
And 6.5 out of the...
6.5 out of the division.
And the Reds have a really easy schedule. Well, the Padres are falling off, but the Reds have a really easy schedule. They played all
the
really
Braves have a tough schedule, though, I think.
Yeah, which is why I have the Mets.
Yeah, Braves go Giants, Dodgers, Giants, Padres, Phillies, Mets.
That is tough. Yeah,
not all in a row, but they still have to play all those teams.
Yeah,
they also get 7 against Colorado and 3 against Miami. 4 against Arizona.
Where for Colorado? Because Colorado really good.
4 on the road, 3 at home against Colorado.
So 4 on the road is in like 4 at Colorado.
Yeah,
that's brutal. That is part of the hard schedule. Playing Colorado at Colorado is not easy. They are a very good team at home.
Okay, so it's 3 at home against San Francisco, and then 3 away at the Dodgers, 4 at Colorado. So, like, this is a really tough schedule. Within the next week and a half, 2 weeks, I think we could see the 6.5-game lead down to, like, 2 games. Because the Mets play... like, after this Giants series, and they're getting their best player back, which is another thing, they play Washington, Miami.
Yeah, they get... so, that's another thing. We were talking about how important Lindor was in the last podcast. I really do think Lindor is going to go... I don't think he's going to go, like, post a 150 WRC+. I don't think that's happening. But if he's... And what did he play? There's like 30 something games left in the season. How many games will Lindor play this year? Because he has a 16 outs above average. He played 88 games. So let's say you take about a third of about, let's say 7 of that, 6 of that. If he gives you 6 OAA and a 110, 115 WRC+ down the stretch, that is at shortstop specifically, you're getting significantly better. Because you get to put Nick McNeil at third full time. JD Davis is a full time bench bat.
No, I think
you can try.
They have McNeil left.
Oh, they have McNeil. Yes, you can play McNeil left field. I forgot he can play left field. So you have Davis at third. That's even better for them. Lindor at short. Baez at second. Alonso at first. So those are 4 above average hitters in the infield. Nimmo in center. Who's their right fielder?
Conforto.
Okay, so, and I know Conforto struggled this year, but I do believe he's an above-average hitter. But let's just say he's a below-average. Let's just use for argument's sake. That's still above-average hitter in left, an above-average hitter in center. You're
above-average
not...
hitter McNeil's been shit this year too, though. So.
Oh, okay, but I do think McNeil and Conforto are good hitters. Like, I think they're going to play to the back of their bank.
Yeah, then Lindor and Baez are good hitters, and then
yes,
Alonso's not a good hitter, but a great hitter.
And Davis is a good hitter. He's been good this year offensively, I think. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So you know what? Your lineup isn't the best. It's a bunch of. There's really no one there outside of Alonso that like makes you makes you shit your pants, like want to change a pitcher just to face that one guy. But there are other guys
in this lineup that can be that guy.
Yeah, that just don't suck. You're not playing Alberto Mora Jr. and you're not playing Kevin Pillar. That's enough for it to make you that much better. Going from Kevin Pillar and Alberto Mora getting a bunch of starts to Lindor getting a bunch of starts
and Baez
changes everything. Yes, that changes everything. It also deepens your bench. You have better bench options, I guess. You know, I do think that the Mets. Losing DeGrom is obviously the worst case scenario, but I mean, I just don't think they're a below 500 team. I just really don't.
So, yeah, I mean, Baez is a 102 WRC plus, 764 OPS. So his OPS is way better, but that's because he slugs a ton and doesn't walk. So, like he's one of those outliers where like the OPS plus WRC plus difference is huge.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because, you know.
Yeah. You can explain it. So, as long as it's an explainable difference, I mean.
I don't know. I think this team is good. And I know they're the Mets, and the Mets are, like, kind of the butt of a lot of jokes. But, like, 6.5 back can turn into 2.5 back in the next week and a half. With their schedules. And so yeah,
look at the Phillies. They were in first and now they're way back in the division again. They're 4.5.
And the Phillies.
Like, it changes like that. Yeah, I don't think the Phillies are good. A lineup for the Mets of like Nimmo leading off, and Nimmo's a 408 on base guy. He's one of the best leadoff options in baseball. Drury off the bench is nice because he's hitting well this year and he's kind of for some reason just great in high leverage moments for them off the bench.
Yeah, he's clutch. He has the clutch sheet.
Having Guillorme off the bench, I don't know if he's hurt right now. He had a decent season. He has a 116 WRC plus.
No, he must be hurt then.
Yeah.
Because Cisco's here. What the fuck happened to... Is McCann hurt?
I think he might have gotten hurt. He's not... At some point, it was like a 96 WRC plus and just completely fell off for him.
They're good.
Conforto's an average. Also has an average WRC plus now. Like he's gotten better. VR off the bench is a whole new guy.
Insane.
Yeah, his X was like 350, which is good. But in the month of August, he's posted a 139 WRC plus with great plate discipline and not really an inflated BAPIPs, because he has a high barrel rate. So when you're barreling the ball 11.5% of the time, a 340 BAPIP rate makes sense. You know, like Judge is like a 350 BAPIP guy in his career. So if it's the BAPIP's high,
no, but Judge is a 350 BAPIP guy because of the short porch.
Yeah, but he also barrels it. Like I'm just saying short like porch. What Conforto's doing. I know you're trying to get me here, but you're not gonna do it. But I'm just saying like Conforto's his stuff is sustainable. He's really good plate discipline right now. He's not hitting a ton of home runs in August, which is
short porch.
You know, it is what it is. But
Conforto unfortunately doesn't have a short porch. If Conforto played in Yankee Stadium, he'd have a 180 WRC plus.
Oh, another thing is the Mets would be stupid to not give Conforto a 1 year contract if they could give him one. If he takes a 1 year contract,
I highly doubt that dude's taking a 1 year contract.
I'm not saying he would. I'm just saying if he does, any team in baseball that could use any outfield help would be stupid not to take him.
Even if you couldn't use outfield help, even if you're the Reds.
The Reds could definitely. They need someone else. They could replace Naquin with Conforto. Naquin's not better than Conforto.
Fine. Even Naquin if you're center. The Dodgers, you could still use him.
Hell, man, you throw him out there and you fucking trade Pollock for some assets. Like you
but
could.
Pollock might be better than Bellinger at this point.
He might be, but I'm just saying, like you can do. Like Conforto is such a good player that if you can get it, it doesn't even matter if you don't extend him. Like this is another thing. People get caught up in like, oh, what about extending him? Who cares? You signed them for the contract. You keep him for that contract, and you either choose to let him go or you don't. You don't lose anything because you gain the value from that one-year deal. Like, that's why.
Yeah, I don't understand this thing where, like, people are like, oh, it's a rental. Like, that, like, it's such a – there's such a negative connotation around rental, but – like, being a rental is not a bad thing. Like, Javier Baez is a rental. He's not going to be there for the next...
The Blue Jays?
But he's not going to... He presumably won't be there for the next...
He's not guaranteed.
10 years. But who cares? He was there to help the team win for the stretch run of this season. They haven't been winning. That's not his fault. But whatever. As you were saying with the Blue Jays.
Like, the Blue Jays, if they don't re-sign Simeon... Right. Yes, it will suck. It'll make their team worse. Or maybe it'll make the team worse. I don't know what they go from there. Maybe they go give a 1-year deal to Story. But would it make it bad to have originally given Simeon that 1-year contract? No.
They probably could have gotten him on a longer term deal.
Maybe, but that's hindsight, right? That's hindsight. That's looking back on it. Maybe, but all I know is that 1-year contract, regardless of how long
Remember when you said that they should have signed Colton Wong instead?
You know what, though? Colton Wong is a phenomenal player. But you're right.
But he's not the best position player in baseball. And okay, I'm not saying Simeon is, but Simeon has been this season the best position player in baseball.
I do get what you're saying. I was 100% wrong on the Marcus Simeon thing, and I'm glad to admit I'm wrong on that. Oh, I'm not glad because Marcus Simeon's a fucking killer and he's in the R division. I hate playing him. But in terms of, like, for him, I'm happy he's playing well. And I was 100% wrong.
So remember when we thought Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was good?
Okay. His launch angle, like, completely dropped off in August. Remember when we said he was not going to – he had no shot to win the MVP, I think, or something like that? Someone clipped us, me and Jack, saying he has no shot at winning MVP or something like that.
He doesn't.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. But we said it for all the wrong reasons. Like, oh, he's not a top three first baseman. And we were wrong.
He's a top three first baseman. I don't remember saying that because I remember being all in on this.
Yeah, you didn't say it. Jack and I said it. Different people. You see, ball knowers didn't say that. Ball knowers wouldn't have said that. I'm kind of stupid. By kind of, I mean very.
Vladdy has in August, or since August 3rd, so the last like 20 games, 73 WRC plus.
That's rough. I mean, it's a slump. Look, Judge had that really rough August his rookie year, and then he killed it in September. I'm not concerned about a rough month of August. I think good hitters, great hitters.
Yeah, but I was told he's the best player on his team. I remember being told that. I think I was lied to.
I think he is still. Like, I think we can all understand he's a 22-year-old posting a 150
I don't give
WRC
a fuck
plus.
About their age. He's not.
No, you should, though. You should, though, because the high, like I think we sometimes don't look at this because it's harder to project young players, but there's only two, I think, 21 or younger players, and I know Vlad isn't a part of this because he's 22, who have posted a 150 or better WRC plus in their age 20 in a season or during that time span, and that's Tatis and Trout, you know? Soto didn't even do that. Acuna didn't even do that. Like, to do what he's doing at age 22 is impressive, and I think he's only going to get better.
I understand that, but there's no value in being younger for the best player in baseball.
Yes, there is for projecting who that guy is. Absolutely.
Maybe projecting, but saying like the best player in baseball is this person. I don't care how old they are. The fucking 45-year-old could be the best player in baseball.
No, I think it does kind of. Like, I think if Juan Soto did, let's say, what Alex Bregman did in 2019 at age 19 or age 20, that would be more impressive than what Alex Bregman did.
Yeah, it'd be more impressive, the same stats. But it wouldn't be more valuable.
Yes, it would. No, but yes, it would, because that player would only get better.
What the fuck? If Soto did what Bregman did at 19, that would be the best season of his career.
Correct. But what would that indicate? That he is a player who has done something no other 19-year-old has ever done, which is to come up and be an MVP caliber player.
But does that make him the best player in baseball? No.
Yes, that would make him the best player in baseball.
Like, then why isn't Alex Bregman the best player in baseball?
But that's what we did with Tatis. Remember, and I explained it, and it ended up being true. Tatis was a 21-year-old or 22-year-old.
Okay, but even that Bregman season, that Bregman season wasn't better than Trout. So
I'm not saying young players have to be Trout speed. Like, I'm not saying any players dethroning Trout right now, because Trout is so much better than most players in the most best seasons from even the best players in this league. I think the only season that really you could say is better than any Mike Trout season is that Mookie Betts year. And maybe if DeGrom was healthy this year, that would have been an argument. But he hasn't been. And Betts,
you mean out of like active players?
Yeah, out of active players. But I'm just presenting, and Soto never at age 19 was as good as what Bregman was in 2019, because his defense wasn't great enough, and he hasn't posted, I believe, and he didn't post a one, he didn't even post a above 150 WRC plus that year. Not saying that doesn't make it impressive, I'm just saying it doesn't fit the criteria of immediately best player in baseball. I'm just saying for Vlad, for him to be doing what he's doing now, I know
there's
next year.
There's like a couple he's not guys who had better seasons.
Than who? Than a best
Trout.
I would say it's what? The Betts 2018.
2012 Posey.
Ooh, that's a good candidate. I like that. Let's see. We're going to check prospectus.
164 WRC plus versus 176. Well, Posey's an elite defensive catcher, and Mike Trout in 2013 was a good defensive center fielder.
All right. So we have two 10.5 or WAR seasons from Trout, and I'm going to use prospectus. And I'm not going to just go based on WAR, because I think – but he's never topped an 8.2 in WAR. So
who, Posey? Posey had 10.2
yeah.
F4.
Yeah, but F4 is as
I don't
F4 isn't very precise because it uses DRS, I think, for catchers.
No, it uses great framing.
Yeah, no, but it factors DRS as well, because like Salvador Perez had a positive defensive value 1 year because he had a positive DRS, a really good DRS that year.
Like DRS still matters for catchers. Like
yeah, but it's not as good as the defensive values that Prospectus uses. They use FRA for
yeah, but DRC plus is fucking stupid. So
it is, and I admit to that. But what was his WRC plus that year for Posey?
164.
Okay, yeah, I can see because his DRC plus that year is 138. So
that's
what
a
oh, wait,
huge 2012,
difference. Wait. Which year?
2012.
Oh, I was looking at 2014. 2012, 149. That's still a huge gap.
That's still a huge difference.
But he was the best defender in baseball, I think, that year in FRA, if I'm not mistaken. And let's say the ones, yeah, I would say that's on par with the Trout season, but also you have to look at, say, like Trout's 2012.
So well, that was quick. Brandon Bellhome, it's one nothing Giants.
Oh, rip Mets. But
I mean, I don't know. What about 2013 Pujols? 2013, 2003.
But I mean, do you really?
2015
but I don't
Harper.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. But I don't think Harper was better than 2013 Trout, because 2013 Trout was a 176 WRC plus. He stole, and I know stolen. Oh no, how about let's just use 2012. That's what I want to highlight. 2012 Trout had a 10.5 R WAR, stole 49 bases, and only got caught 5 times. So he had a 14.3 BSR, which is insane. And he had 21 defensive. Holy shit. 21 defensive runs saved, a 14 BSR, and a 176 WRC plus.
Yeah, but I think
that's nuclear.
2013 Trout might have been better because he was better at the plate.
Yeah, but 2012 Trout absolutely should have won MVP. Absolutely should have won it over Miggy. I'm sorry. That's think about that. The guy stole 49 bases, had a four.
No, but
and I know.
I think the one that like could go either way is the 2013 one. Because,
yeah, but also
how
remember,
much, how much do you value positional value in an MVP case is the real question with this Miggy Trout thing for 20.
Right.
Okay, we're way off track.
I want to say one thing, but did that 10.5 win season with only 639 play appearances, so only 139 games played, while the other one's 157 games played. Volume absolutely matters, but I'm just saying in terms of on a per-rate basis, that might be the greatest season I've ever seen, one of the greatest seasons, if not the greatest season I've ever seen.
Bonds?
He could have actually stole 50 bags and hit 30 home runs if he
Bonds.
Just played a full season. Bonds? The Bonds, does that even count? Because he's basically Jesus Christ.
Okay, but he was cheating, so.
No, even if he was, he's Jesus Christ. So you know what? That's just
yeah, like 244 WRC plus 12.7 WAR. Like that's just
he is count. Jesus Christ.
It doesn't count. Like also, you can't compare. Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Ohtani's
WAR thing is on Fangraphs is a little bit low, but still leading the league. But I think in. As far as an impressive like, as far as being impressive goes, like, I'm not talking about being the best. I'm talking about the most impressive. This Ohtani season is the most impressive season maybe of all time.
I'd go as far as to say it's arguably the best. He's a DH with a 4.8 F4. He's a DH with – I'm just purely offense. If he didn't pitch, he would be a 5-6 win player. As
that's
a DH.
That's not necessarily true because he's 100 defensive innings at pitcher, which has a positive –
Oh, shit. No, this is just batting. Oh, fielding. Yeah, but you would also be able to say that he would potentially be playing the outfield. And he would
pitching has a positive positional adjustment, I think.
Yeah, but he also spends so much time at DH that he has a negative 10.4 DEF. So.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So just to say, like, I'm just saying that the fact that he's a four, let's say he never pitches, like, just would never pitch. He's just the Angels decided he's a cooked product. He sucks. He's terrible. The worst pitcher of all time. He's Brooks Kreese. He'd be on pace for a 6.4 season per 650.
As a pitcher.
No, as a pitcher.
No, I know. And he's also a pitcher.
Oh, yeah. He's also a, you know, and I get it. ERAs. And we're going to have that. Didn't that, like, one guy DM Jack that we're using ERA?
That was me. I always use ERA though, so they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah. But a 3.73 Sierra, a 3.60 XFIP, a 2.79 ERA, a 3.19 FIP. That's
and a fake walk problem, by the way.
That I mean, that's,
he has a walk problem. Shut the fuck up.
This is ridiculous. Okay,
so his Ohtani's first four starts, he walked 22.6% of the batters he faced. Since then, he has walked 6.2% in his last 14. He simply does not have a walk problem. He's been pitching to more contact. He had more strikeouts earlier in the year. 3.52 Sierra. Like, and then.
Yankee start that killed him. That Yankee start really ended his Cy Young hopes.
I don't think they're over.
I agree because everyone's been in the AL's either got COVID or injured and no one's really pulled away. But if
except
like Ohtani had like a
like Lance Lynn's probably gonna win it.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if Ohtani didn't have a terrible start against the Yankees, like the worst start in the world, like this is even like a bad, this is like the worst start he's probably
possible.
Ever had.
Oh, easily. Well, actually last year, 2020, he had a start where he gave up 5 runs and didn't get an out.
Well, I'm just saying, he had a higher ERA here. He had a 94.5 ERA compared to a 45 ERA, so, you know.
Well, 45 isn't actually true because he got 0 outs, so it's technically infinite.
Well, I'm just saying in terms of, like, okay, yeah. So let's say this is the worst start he's ever had. And the funniest thing is
if you take that start out, what's his ERA? 24 runs, 99.3 innings. That's not right. So it's nine. It was what? 33. So 20. Oh, no. 24 runs.
I can do math.
99.3 innings. He has a 2.17 ERA without the Yankees.
He would win the Cy Young.
Oh, he's Cy Young.
And you know what's the funny? And I'm not going to say he should win the Cy Young because, oh, if you take away the Yankee start, because that's part of it. Like, you pitched poorly against the Yankees. That's on you.
Okay, he's taken the mound 18 times this year, and he's given up more than three earned runs twice.
Well, also that's gonna be another thing. He's not gonna really have the volume to win it because he's just not gonna have volume on his side.
So yes and no, because he's I don't know how much you actually value this, but he is also the best hitter in baseball. And I think there's some.
Yeah. Okay. MVP. Yeah. And like best season of all time. But Cy Young is purely pitching. So I think it's hard to say Ohtani deserves it. It's impossible to argue Ohtani over Lynn for the Cy Young right now.
Oh, because, right now? Easily.
Yeah. Absolutely not. Because if you want to go with just the ERA argument, Lynn washes him in ERA and he has more volume. If you want to use the peripheral argument, Rodon and Cole would wash him. So you just
can't. Rodon has.
Or Ray.
Rodon doesn't even have an advantage in volume.
Well, how about Robbie Ray would therefore win the peripheral? If we go
peripheral
ERA
argument
plus
is
peripheral.
Ray.
Yeah, if you go the peripheral Cy Young, the peripheral plus ERA argument, it's Ray and Cole. If you go just the ERA argument, it's just Glenn. Like
Rodon. And also, if you go for the narrative argument, it's the pitcher who's also the best hitter in baseball.
Yeah, but
like, I think he's gonna get votes just off of that.
Oh no, I think he deserves votes. I'm not like he deserves some votes, not for first, but definitely, you know, placing in the top 10 for sure, because the AL does not have great pitching.
Oh, easily top 10. He's probably fifth.
I don't know. I just can't see. I can't see him. Not that I can't see him. I can't say, like, if I'm picking based on stats, I can't put him fifth because
he's also 8-1, by the way, on a shitty team. Okay. He simply wins games.
So let's just go. Winner. 100 innings pitched. He's not top 3 in ERA minus. So he's fourth. And Kyle Gibson's no longer in the AL, so Cole would end up being fifth.
So he's third.
No. Kyle Gibson was behind Ohtani.
Oh, okay.
So that's just cool. So the top 5 in ERA minus minimum 100 innings pitches: Lynn, Rodon, Ray, Ohtani, and Cole. In terms of skill interactive ERA, which I don't think should matter too much for signing, I think it's just a tiebreaker. I believe that's how I watching the baseball bits, not the baseball bits. Foolish.
I saw that the second account. Channel.
Yeah, the one where he was like talking about sabermetric contact. All right, anyway, he nailed it. It's a tiebreaker kind of thing. In fit minus, which I guess is another stat that should kind of matter because I don't think it's a result metric, but you know, Ohtani doesn't finish top. He's fourth. He's fourth in fit minus, so he's up there. So yeah, I guess the top five take could work because he's top 5 in ERA minus and top 5 in fit minus. So yeah, I can see that. I would say he should finish behind Cole, Rodon, Lynn, and Ray.
If he doesn't win the MVP unanimously, something went wrong.
Oh yeah, no. If I think like you have, I think you have a legitimate case of like anti-Asian discrimination if he doesn't win it. Like that. If he doesn't win it unanimously, I'm going to tweet hashtag Stop Asian Hate. I'm gonna do it. Like you know, I'm gonna do it.
8.1 R war.
Yeah. Let me just. When was the announcement? No. When was the announcement?
Dude, Lindor just homer? No, that's a warning track flyout. God damn it. I thought Lindor homered on his first at bat back, but no. No, it was like.
Okay, so on the 12th. So on November 13th or 12th, I will most likely be tweeting some anti-Asian discrimination. Very good chance.
I don't know.
But in all seriousness, I just don't. I don't think you can't argue against Ohtani for MVP. You can't. You're wrong if you argue against for MVP. You're actually wrong. We've been talking about the AL for a while. Did we talk about the NL at all? I think we did.
We talked about the Mets. We talked about the Reds. We talked about. No, we're good.
Okay, so I was thinking like, oh, did we even talk about the NL? Because we were like, oh, interesting teams, American League West, and then we just didn't talk about the A's. We didn't talk about the Astros. Because who cares about either team? They're both losers. I'm joking.
The Brewers are a cheat code.
Oh yeah, they're fantastic.
They're not losing.
They honestly, man, like I think this is again, like I've said this multiple times on multiple episodes. This is the best season, I think, regular season that I've watched in a while for stories, all that stuff. Like this is phenomenal.
I haven't watched that much baseball, admittedly, this year. Since the beginning of the summer, like I was watching a ton when we were in school, and then I'll probably get back to watching more. I'm watching a game right now, but like over the summer, I didn't watch that much baseball. But keeping up with this has been more interesting than almost any other season. Obviously, I've still watched a ton of baseball, but not as much as I normally do. And it's hard to watch a sport when your team is unwatchable.
Yeah.
I honestly, like, people on Twitter are like, oh, you should still be watching, like, not just Twitter, people in general think like, oh, you should just like, you know, if you're like a real fan, you'll watch the games. Like,
I disagree with that notion. It's just hard to watch. Like,
it's not hard to watch. It's a waste of my time.
Yeah, because you're not like, if you win a game, it doesn't push you any closer to the playoffs. So it's winning is pointless, but losing sucks. Always, but your team's built to lose. Like they're not built.
You're trying to lose. The goal is to lose.
Yeah, and if you win, you don't accomplish anything. So if there's no incentive to win, there's no point to watch.
I mean, I don't know. I always watch the Knicks even when they were fucking ass.
Yeah, but you know when they lose, like there's always a chance for you to get like you get an impact player potentially. when you're so bad. In MLB, you don't get an immediate impact player.
Also,
you get a minor league.
I feel like it's more fun to watch bad basketball than bad baseball. But
I don't know if I agree with that, but I do know that there's at least a hope that, you know.
The Yankees have never been bad in your entire life. So, like.
Yeah, but the Knicks have been bad. So, you know.
Yeah, but you don't know what bad baseball looks like.
You're right. I'm just saying, like, I just.
Because, like, this Cubs team might be the worst team of all time.
I gotta say, man.
Generational shit from this tank.
The 2021 Yankees in the first half. Not the first half. Like, the month of.
They were still a 500 team.
Then that's the crazy part. Like, when I wanted to put my head through a wall and cry myself to sleep watching this team.
No.
They were still, like, a playoff team. Like, they were very close to the playoffs every single day. They were fighting for the playoffs all year. So, you're right. I've never really seen bad baseball. And I've been spoiled. I haven't had a below 500 Yankee team. Even the 2016 Yankees, when they sold to you guys, they gave you guys Chapman. They got better in the second half. They called up Judge and Sanchez and all those guys. And then the immediate next season went to Game 7 of the ALCS. So, even the Yankee teams who don't make the playoffs.
That's what they do. Yeah. They're going to lose. But, I mean, I really, really hope. It would be poetic. It would be amazing if they just lost in 7 of the Ashes in the ALCS again this year.
I might.
Every other year for the entirety of the Ashes dynasty. I wouldn't call it a dynasty because they only have one championship. But they are.
Run of dominance.
Yeah. And I think it might be over after this year. Like, this might be their last year. Houston.
Yeah. Maybe, but you know what? I wouldn't count them out of getting like a lower tier shortstop and just continuing to be just a wagon, a good team.
You know what is also possible is a third baseman because they could just shift Bregman to shortstop.
Yeah, that's another thing. They could move Bregman to short, and you know, I think they could be in play for like you know, Chris Taylor would be a great fit for them. I think, you know, Chris Taylor's going to cost too much, and they could go out and get him and, like, move him to second or third. Not second, excuse me, third or short, and they could
No one's moving Altuve off of second.
Altuve has just sent the Astros to the World Series. That's PTSD.
But the problem is that you look at their pitching. Granke's a free agent.
And so is
likely
Verlander.
Not paying that. Verlander's a free agent, but Verlander.
You know what? That opens up like $70 million. I'm not saying that's a good thing. It's never a good thing to lose good players. I'm just saying you're opening up $70 million. You know, what's to stop them from getting a good pitcher in the market?
What's to stop them from just saying fuck it and signing like Trevor Story or Marcus Semien?
You know what? Trevor Story on a 1-year contract, like because he's not playing well this year, would be great for them. That'd be phenomenal. A phenomenal fit.
I think they could try and pull off what the Blue Jays pulled off with Semien. Bad year following a great year. Trying to get a great year.
Yeah, and you know what? That'd be cool. I think that'd work for them. Not cool for me because I hate them, but, you know, that'd be cool for them. You know, like starting, let me just find some starting pitchers just quickly on the market. You like, what's stopping them from trying to get, like, Stroman to join their team? Or, like, you know,
Florence, I think the Mets are stopping them from trying to get
Stroman.
Okay,
what about Syndergaard?
Syndergaard seems more like the Astros type.
Yeah. You know, Eduardo Rodriguez having a poor ERA season, but he has really good peripherals. You know, they could try to target
that
him.
That was nuked.
Who?
Yastrzemski. He just hit one like 500 feet.
I love Yastrzemski. Who else? You know, not Rodon. I think Rodon stays with the White Sox. I think he's a White Sox forever. Or he just feels like a guy who needs to be in the White Sox with the White Sox. I just feel like he's their type of guy. You know, John Gray wants to stay in Colorado. Never mind. You know, I could see them trying to get, you know, I could see them getting Syndergaard. I could see them landing
sign, like, okay, so I guess that's a club option. So Kikuchi's going to be back.
You know what?
You know what I wouldn't be surprised if they did is if they just brought back a Charlie Morton or something like that.
But you know what? Like, if they just got Syndergaard, right, and they lost, and I think Verlander stays. I think Verlander wants to be an Astro. I think he loves it there, and I think they'll give him like a 1-year contract.
There was a little rumor there that he might go back.
I mean, that would be a. And I'm not saying it's stupid. I'm just saying, like, why?
Why Tigers?
Yeah, why Detroit? I'm just asking.
Is a 40-year-old coming off of Tommy John really gonna command that much value in the open market.
No, but that's kind of the point.
Because the Astros don't sign guys for sentiment.
That's what I'm – but I'm not saying they're going to give them 1 year $30 million just because they love them. I'm saying like 1 year $15 million, $14 million, $13 million, $12 million. What's stopping them from doing that?
I wonder if he makes it back this year.
Maybe. Who else was I going to say? So let's say they just get Syndergaard, right? Lose Greinke, lose
Robbie Verlander. Ray.
Yes, but I think he could stay in Toronto. But Alex Cobb. Just for sake of argument, so Syndergaard, Luis Garcia, Framber Valdez, LMJ, and they have another. They have to have another starter somewhere.
You know who I could just see?
Who?
Max Scherzer.
No, I don't see it.
I think it makes sense.
I don't see the Dodgers letting him go. I just can't see the Dodgers letting a big time free agent go.
They're gonna have to.
I think they'd rather let go of Seager than let go of
Scherzer.
Scherzer. Yeah, because Seager is a long term commitment. Scherzer is not. So a little different.
Kershaw's a free agent.
Yeah, but I think he's gonna stay. I really do think he's gonna stay.
Yeah, can they afford every single one of these guys? I know they don't care, but like,
yeah, I think they can. So who are the guys they have to keep? Taylor, Kershaw. You're right.
Kershaw, Scherzer, Turner's a free agent next year. Seager.
So Seager, I think they let go. I think they try to keep Taylor.
Bauer has a player option, so that's.
But they can also void Bauer's entire. Like they can just void it because he could get a suspension. If he gets suspended, for the reasons you see, like Ozuna's thing is he's on leave, and same thing with Bauer, so he's have to pay him. If he gets suspended for this certain type of criminal activity, he doesn't have to pay, they don't have to pay his contract, it's voided. So that opens up $40 million. Like it's kind of like with PEDs, like Cano gets his money back the second he steps back on the field, he gets paid for next year, he didn't get paid for this year. Bauer would not be paid for the amount of time he's suspended, but the amount of time he could be suspended for could be a year or 2 years. So
yeah, like that's another issue with the Mets is like the moment that Cano hits the roster again after the suspension is $24 million.
Yeah, but again, for the Dodgers, I mean, I know this is a sensitive subject, so I'm not going to try to bring it up too much, but Bauer's money being off the books potentially could allow them to, bring back Kershaw and bring back Scherzer. And I don't know if Kershaw's going to demand $30 million. Is he a $30 million pitcher?
Yes.
Who's going to offer him $30
million? Anyone.
Okay. Who? I'm just saying.
Anyone can. Any team that could afford it would do it because he's.
Who are those teams? I'm just saying it's a limited group. The Dodgers are going to, and the Dodgers have the benefit of no Kershaw wants to stay. You know
Atlanta?
What I mean? They have $30 million type money. Do you think he's not going to San Francisco? I know for a fact he's not going.
What if he did,
he would immediately. Dude, if he went, that would be awesome. That would be, oh my God, that'd be great. I just don't see it happening. Boston. Who else could I see? Boston. I could see Boston. That's one. And honestly, I could see him in Boston. I can't. I feel like he's a warm weather guy. He grew up in Texas, I think.
White Sox?
No. I don't see the White Sox shelling $30 million for him.
Houston.
Yes. I could see if the Rangers were good, I would say Texas. But the Rangers suck.
He's from Texas.
Exactly. So I would say the Rangers.
Houston makes more sense because they're good.
Yeah.
Do you sign with a team that cheated you out of a World Series?
First off, do you think – okay. I'm not saying Kershaw's a money-first guy, but most people are. Like, that's just true. Like – no way, other way to say it. Like, if you were offered, $30 million, if you were offered $10,000 by the Cardinals every single year to root for the Cardinals, would you do it?
Yeah.
Exactly. If you were offered $1,000 a year, would you do it?
The Cardinals?
Yes.
For, like, how much money is that for my whole life?
Every year alive, it's another $1,000. How about $5,000 in the middle?
Probably.
That could pay off like a lot, like some things. You could do so much with that money. Like, why would it? Like, I would say my price tag would be a lot higher or a little bit higher than 5,000.
No, but think about it. Then you'd be a Cardinals fan. Like, you wouldn't even think of the Cubs or you wouldn't even think of the Yankees.
No. You have to choose to root for them. It's, take a brainwash you. Why would they pay you?
I wouldn't even choose to.
You'd have to choose to root. You know what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
How do you choose to root for someone you don't want? It doesn't make sense.
I don't know. My point is,
it's like they're going to like rape you into rooting for them. Like, no. Non-consensually root for them.
My point is, when it comes to wanting to do things or wanting to sign with people you don't like money talks, you know, like money just talks. It's just true. Money talks. Anyone would do anything for money.
Toronto.
I don't know if he'd go to Canada. That's just tough. Like, you would have to get. You remember, you also have to think. You know, he probably has his family and him. He and his family have been where they have been in the United States for X amount of time. I wouldn't want to go to the Angels. Or they're just a really bad. Like, it's not even just like a
play. Yeah, they kill their pitchers.
Yeah, they're. This is a bad. Like, that's just a bad place to go to. It's just
they literally murdered their pitcher. Like,
yeah, no, they let a drug operation go on in their organization.
Okay,
for a while. So
fuck that. The Orioles have lost 18 games in a row.
They suck. But they're, you know what? They're tanking successfully. This is how you build a farm. Tank successfully. Get that number one or number two pick in a stacked fucking draft and go.
You know what's even better though is tanking as a big market franchise with a $200 million payroll. Not anymore, but they have the ability to do it. 55-72, 9 games ahead of the Pirates. So
this feels like a very specific team you're talking about. Boy, I can't imagine who it could be.
You know, the Cubs should just like go out and just offer some random dude like a shit ton of money this offseason and then hope they're good. Like, I really think Cubs would be the team to, like, snag one of those, like, top shortstops just for fun.
Maybe on a one deal.
There's a lot of free agents this year and not a lot of openings. Like, how many teams need shortstops?
A lot.
How many good teams need shortstops? Milwaukee doesn't. Cincinnati
does. You know what? Maybe Milwaukee would need one. Hold on.
Are you fucking stupid?
Who do they have? Oh, they had Adamas. Shit. So let's just look at a quick look at the short, quote unquote, shortstops on Sport Track. Simeon Story, Seager, Correa, Baez, Simmons, Miggy Rowe has a club option for $5.5 million. I have no idea why.
That's getting picked up.
Yeah. I don't know why anyone would deny $5.5 million for Miguel Rojas. Jose Iglesias, Edgar Adrianza, Freddie Galvez, Jordy Murray. Okay, and then former World Series MVP Alcides Escobar. So,
okay, well, I don't give a shit about those guys. I'm talking about the cream of the crop here, the four.
Okay.
Seager, Story, Baez, Correa.
Yeah, no, I get it. I got it. I understood it.
Simeon
Seager, I think. Yeah, I don't think Seager's. If I'm being honest, I just don't think Seager's a good like. He's not a fit for, like, I know people bring up the left-handed power for the Yankees, but he's not a good defender. So why would you ever, like,
okay,
why would you replace Kleber Torres with Seager?
What good team needs a shortstop?
Oakland could, but they're not going to pay the money for it.
Chicago doesn't. They have Anderson. Tampa doesn't. Right. They have Franco.
But they might, you know, Tampa was heavily interested in Story, so.
Yeah, for half a season, like, Wander Franco's yeah. the shortstop there for the yeah. next 15 years if everything goes right, and it looks like it is because he is really good. Like, I feel like people haven't really been talking about him much, but he's quietly been really, really good this year. So there's that. Have fun with him for the next 15 years as a Ooh. Yankees fan. Wander Franco.
I'm fine. 15, either keep him.
I feel like if there's one guy they're going to keep, it would be him.
No, absolutely not.
He's a shit defender. Holy shit, -6.
They didn't keep Longoria. You think they're going to keep him?
He's better.
Yes, but I'm just... I mean, is he better than
Longoria? Yeah, he has more upside. I don't know if he's better, but...
Okay. More upside, but you're underestimating how good Longoria was, bro.
No, I know. Longoria was an elite hitter, elite defender, like MVP.
Longoria, and I know he declined towards the end, but as a Ray, okay, he was a 550.
You're cutting out.
What?
You're cutting out.
My internet sucks, I guess.
Okay, well, anyways, Longoria is a Hall of Famer.
Is he a Hall of Famer? No, no, absolutely not. No, 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 no. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he is.
He could get there, but he's not. He has to, like, he has to continue to hit at the level he's hitting at right now and then, like, play and not get hurt.
He does not.
He, okay, what is his...
He does not need to have a 144 WRC plus to be a Hall of Famer for the next
one. Okay, my bad. I didn't know he had 144. But he's a 50.5 F4 and a 47. No. I was looking at his O War. Oh, okay. So, 50, okay, yeah, he can get there. You're right. He's a 119 WRC plus.
Wait. What's his R War then, career? Because if it was 47 O War, his D War should be crazy because he's an elite. He was an elite.
Yeah, he's a 57.3 R War.
Yeah, so that's a Hall of Famer. It's not quite 60. But especially if you consider that his peak, he had multiple 7-win seasons, multiple 6-win seasons. He had 26.7 F4 in 4 years.
All right. So I was looking at O War. Oh, no. I was looking at the right War. What was I going to look for? Okay. So here's the thing, though. Like, Craig Nettles is a former – he used to play for the Yankees for a while in Cleveland and San Diego. He boasted a 111 WRC plus in his career with a 65.7 F4, and I don't think he's a Hall of Fame. I don't think he ever entered the Hall of Fame. I check. Let's see. Let's still check. He is not a Hall of Famer. He was also one – like, he also had the rings. It wasn't like a matter of he didn't play for a big market team or he didn't win rings. So – it's hard for me to see him getting in, or it's not a slam dunk for me. You mean
who?
No, Greg Nettles. There we go. He's played for the Yankees. I only remember him because I know that, like, you know, a lot of boomer Yankee fans really like him, and he's a good player. He's a Hall of Fame player. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He's just not. And I'm just saying, like, it's not a lock for Longoria.
Oh no, absolutely not a lock. But he'll be a Hall of Famer.
Also, you also think of guys like, he's probably more Jeff Kent than he is, like, you know, in terms of value. He's probably closer to Jeff Kent. Off the top of my head, I can check right now, you know.
Okay, well, whatever. Whatever.
Regardless. All right, next.
Teams that need shortstops. The Giants don't. Because they locked up their guy for the next 2 years, and then they have their guy for the next 10 right behind him. So, because Luciano's really good.
He sucks, unfortunately.
What?
He sucks.
Okay, well, anyways. Dodgers don't need one. Padres sure as fuck don't need one.
Yeah, because even if they don't play Tatis there, they have...
Well, if they play Tatis here in the outfield, like, Cronenworth's not really a shortstop, so I could see them doing it because they're the Padres and they don't give a fuck.
Cronenworth's good. Okay, Cronenworth is fucking rocks. I love this guy.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Toronto doesn't necessarily need one, but they could get one.
Yeah. Oh, my. Dude, Stanton just hit a ball on a line for home run. Like, you know, like those home runs where it's not a fly ball? Where it's like just a, like, line on track. A line. He just hit it on a line. That was beautiful.
Stanton's home run yesterday, I think it was, where he, like, missed where the ball was, like, 15 feet out of the zone. And he, like, swung and did, like, a little spin at the end and somehow hit a home run.
Dude, this is majestic. You see, this is another thing. Yankee fans are legitimately so stupid. Like, they think Giancarlo Stanton's, like, not a good hitter at all. Like, they'll explain to you he doesn't have good offensive tools. And that he's only good because home runs are a thing now.
Oh, whatever.
I don't know if my mic is working. Is it working?
Yeah, it's just, like, in and out.
Oh, that sucks. He hit the ball 111.7 miles per hour, 419 feet on a line. I mean, that's just incredible.
So, Francisco Lindor got traded from the Indians to the Mets to play in the playoffs and then doesn't get to play in the playoffs. When the Indians made the playoffs every year for the last, like, 6 years. that kind of stuff.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Lindor and the Mets. Okay. They just suck. That, I don't know if you saw this old tweet from Jack. He tweeted like Lindor doesn't deserve $400 million. It's kind of crazy to think he fell from like $400 million player to like not top three shortstop potentially. Or he probably isn't. I mean, if you count Tatis, he's not top three shortstop. If you don't, he's a top three shortstop.
I think it's dumb, first of all, to be like, oh, you know, he's not a top three shortstop, so he doesn't deserve this money. Like the top three guys don't deserve that money. So
no, well, first off, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve money because he's not a top three shortstop, if Tatis included.
He's probably overpaid. Like,
no, I don't think he is. 30 something million dollars? I mean, that's he's getting basically Rendon money, right? And I think he's a comparable. I think him and Rendon.
$34 million a year.
Okay. He's a 16 OAA, above average hitter, hopefully. Okay, I can see it.
He's more than 16. Well,
he's probably a 20 OAA defender, and I do still believe he's around a 110 WRC plus hitter, which is what?
I think he's probably
4 or 5 wins.
That's a 5-win player.
Okay.
That's
worth it. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think he's not worth the money. I'm just saying it's kind of crazy to think that the dialogue
now,
in 2020
now he's
was.
A hashtag injury-prone quitter.
Yeah, like, that's – it's just, like, I don't – it's kind of crazy to think we were talking about him being the second $400 million player. Think about it. The second $400 million player behind Mike Trout, and that's it.
No one ever said $400 million. The highest they went was $385.
Well, no. I'm talking about based on what Jack tweeted. Because that was apparently it was a popular opinion. Because Jack got the shit ratioed out of him for it.
Wait. Send me the tweet.
I got to send you the
tweet. Send me a link.
Is there stats here or no?
Just DM it to me. Yeah, there is. There's in the bottom left. That's
awesome. Here we go. May 6th.
So that was in the middle of the season, though.
No, it was in the middle of quarantine.
Oh, 2020.
Yeah, a year ago. We're talking. Baseball dialogue was so much more different back then. Like, we all kind of thought the Yankees were consensus, you know, best team in the American League. What other things were weird back then? The dialogue around guys like Tatis. Like, I thought he was going to regress, and I didn't think he was that good. And then I became a smart man. Probably the best stage of my life.
Until you've seen him in person, you won't understand. He's the embodiment of a perfect baseball player. He's transcendent in every way possible. Fucking fuzzy.
I'm going to tweet something just right now. I have to do it. Just
okay. Okay.
Andrew gave up that double. But go ahead.
All right. Whatever. He's good. They're good. The
Giants are fucking wagging.
The Giants are the best team in baseball.
Yeah. No. But they're the best record in baseball, and they have a stake for the.
Okay. How are they not? I want to get to the bottom of this. How the hell is the team with the best record, probably the best pitching staff. Are they the best pitching staff? They're fucking stacked. Like, Logan Webb just wants to be Jesus Christ now, so there's that.
No, Logan Webb is just good. He's just good at baseball. He's very good at baseball. He's an amazing pitcher. He's very talented. He does so many things very well.
Okay, Giants have third best ERA minus.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh best Sierra. Dodgers are the best. But then offensively they're stacked, and then they like also there's not a hole on this roster. Not one.
Where? For the Dodgers? Yeah, we've already talked about the Giants when we have a hole, and getting Chris Bryant makes it, since he's versatile, whatever holes they have from injury or anything like that can get plugged in by Chris Bryant's existence. What position can't he play? What? Catcher, second base, and first base, right? Because he can play the
he's
entire
not
outfield,
play
he played third
today,
base.
Because he's a quitter. He can play third base. He's played shortstop. He's played first.
Oh, okay. Obviously, he can't play first base then. First base isn't that hard to play.
Obviously, he's not going to play shortstop, but he could.
Right. And, you know, it's just, again, I think Chris Bryant was as perfect of a fit because I don't think
they should have gotten it. Lindor is an idiot, but that worked.
But
he tried to turn a double play when Brandon Belt was already standing on second base.
What a guy. I love that
guy. I mean, he got the out at first, though.
The guy.
All right, anyways. I mean, he could play every single position on the field except for catcher and second base and shortstop.
And you know what, man? It's just incredible how good their front office is. Like they didn't inherit some great team. Like even last year when they were a surprise team, they were a 500 baseball team that were going to make that missed an 18 playoff. That's they figured out how to with not a great roster, with aging veterans, with you know
misfit toys. It's because they're cheating.
Maybe, but you know what? That's what a good front office does. They cheat. they install a very good cheating lab. They figure out how to steal the signs the best way possible and relay them. And in the off chance, you know, if you just look at the pitching staff, I mean, they turned Logan Webb's career around completely.
Logan Webb is 24. Let's pump the brakes here.
And
you don't turn around a 24-year-old's career.
No. But his trajectory, if you look at his trajectory, you can look at his preseason projections. Okay. So in his first two major league seasons, he had a 4.64 skill interactive ERA, couldn't strike guys out.
Didn't do barrels, just couldn't strike guys out.
Yeah. And, you know, let me just – right now he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. This season. And if he had more volume, he would be in the Cy Young discussions. Let me just go on to Steamer. Preseason projections. I know you don't like Steamer, but I'm just trying to tell you, you know, give you a gauge as to where he was.
Yeah, that's because Steamer's bad. They were wrong.
That's just not true. But yeah, 4.21 projected ERA and a 4.17 projected FIP. He was projected to throw 131 innings. In 98 innings, he's nearly doubled his R WAR. And he has a 2.2 F4. F4 is stupid. Who cares? Lack of volume, obviously. But he's posted a 2.84 ERA and a 3.10 FIP while not getting barreled, not giving up a high exit velocity against, getting strikeouts, not giving up walks. He's just done so much well. And you saw it with Guzman last year and this year where he's become a great pitcher. Descalfani's not – I don't think he's great. I think he's going to regress a lot next year because he does have a high barrel rate.
Yeah, I mean –
But he's still good. Like he was never a serviceable, not never. Excuse me. That's harsh. He was an 86 ERA minus pitcher in 2019, but that was 2019, and the Reds basically said you can go. We're not going to pay you $6 million. We don't care to pay you $6 million, and the Giants scooped him up. They said get a bunch of more ground balls. Doesn't matter that you get barreled. Who cares? This is a big ballpark. You can give up barrels. We'll catch them, and just don't walk guys. And they've turned him into a very good volume kind of pitcher.
Oh, he's more than just a volume pitcher.
Yeah, I'm just saying he's a guy who eats a lot of innings, pitches deep into games, and has a lowish ERA. You have to adjust to the park. And even Cueto, man, he was horrific.
Alex Wood.
Wood's regressed, so it's a little different, but Wood is definitely there. But from 2017 to 2020, actually, let's go 2019 to 2020, he threw 79.3 innings. He had a 5.02 Sierra and a 123 ERA minus. That's atrocious, disgustingly bad. He didn't pitch, and he sucked. This year is a 97 ERA minus and a 4.22 Sierra and a 104 innings pitch. So he's an average pitcher right now. As a five-starter, that works.
With solid volume.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just incredible how they have figured out how to turn a pitching staff that wasn't projected to do much into one of the best rotations in baseball. It's incredible.
They also found a god platoon out of a minor leaguer and a Korean baseball player.
Who? Lamonte Wade.
And Darren Ruff.
Ah, yes, Darren Ruff. Is he a Philly legend? I'm pretty sure he's a former Philly.
Yeah, he is. But they turned a KBO player and a quad A guy into the best platoon in baseball.
They have one starter with a bad ERA or above a worse than average ERA minus. And that's Alex Wood at 102. That's it. Only guy. And they only have
But they also have six of them.
I said the thing to 170 innings. Who am I missing?
Gosman, Stefani, Wood, Cueto, and Webb, and then there's
Sanchez got DFA'd. So
I know.
Did they have the West?
I'm pretty sure they have.
Yeah, like I am missing one. Because there's no way they got all their starts from these five guys. Like,
well, they got some from Sanchez. They're starting Sammy Long today, but
Sam Long hasn't pitched great for Zach Litton. I don't know. He's a bullpen game guy. Yeah, no, they've really just relied on these five plus Aaron Sanchez.
I guess Sanchez was the sixth guy I was thinking of.
Damn, so they got
I don't know why you DFA a guy with a 3 ERA, but
because he doesn't have any options and they move guys up and down all the time. So, you know.
That's just stupid. Just leave him on your roster.
As a starter. Not good. Okay, so Sammy Long is a 26-year-old. Is he pitching well today? Not really. No earned runs in two innings, but one walk, one strikeout. That's not good. Andrew Heaney's currently shoving. Anyways.
They're good. They're the best team in baseball. Best record. Not the best roster, but they make it work. They have probably manager of the year. Easily manager of the year. Like if Gabe Kapler doesn't win manager of the year, there's something going on there.
Yeah, he has to win it. There's no other way to put it. And he's who might have pinch hit like late inning home runs, like the heroics from Lamonte Wade. And I think
it's Lamont. And that Lamont was so Wade, confusing sorry. To me. Cause like it looks like it should be Lamonte, but it's Lamont.
It has to be a French name or something like that. But he's a what? Jesus. That's like French. Has to be. There's no way that I feel
but
like
he's black.
French black people are very common.
Frankie smokes. Okay.
Yes, like Frank. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great example.
What?
Andrew Heaney just struck out the side. The Heaney dog.
All right, 140 WRC plus versus lefties for Wade, and then rough. I like to just check in on the splatoon every once in a while, see how they're doing. You know.
Yeah, and you know what?
Versus lefties, Ruff has 172 WRC plus. Best platoon in baseball. Okay, keep going.
What I was gonna say is platoons are absolutely, you know, the thing. I was saying this in the chat. I was tweeting about this all day, and I was arguing with a ton of Yankee fans because you know I love Gary Sanchez, but why would you pay him like more than $15 million. Why would you pay him $50 million a year for the next three or four seasons when you have a bunch of catching prospects and Gary Sanchez has not been a three-win catcher since 2017? He has not.
Well, let's make this very clear. You don't.
Exactly. But the Yankees,
Wait. Why has Chris Bryant just, like, stopped striking out?
Because they're cheating. I mean, this has not been.
But he hasn't walked either. It's weird.
Well,
low Babbitt. What's
his WRC plus?
122.
That's weird. Because usually when you like get into like some players like when they have like a 180 WRC plus like a 10 game stretch, they just don't walk because they're hitting everything. But
no,
yeah,
he went 131 to 122.
Yeah.
Out of the lineup today. I was here to check his splits though. Verse left, he's down to 168, and verse right, he's up to 116.
Wait, what?
Verse left, Bryant is down to 168, and verse right, he's up to 116. Because it used to be like 200.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Whatever. I feel like we've been here a while. Giants are winning the World Series, and with that, we. It's been a drive into deep left field by Castellanos, and it'll be a home run. And we'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.